Hello, Kraken fans, and welcome to episode number 10 of Keeping Up with the Krakens, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and sponsored by DraftKings. Use promo code THPN for exclusive offers. This is your host, Tyler Bell, located in the Rocky Mountains of Alberta, Canada. And once again, I am joined by fellow co-host of the podcast, Alec Durham. How are you doing today, man?
Oh, not too bad, Belzy. How you doing?
I'm doing not too bad myself. And yeah, I'm going to throw you that little co-host title going forward because I think you've graduated out of just being a guest on this show. You've been on it about 5 or 6 times in a row now. You're up to co-host. How does that feel?
It feels good. It feels good. You know, I had to work hard to get here, put my nose to the grindstone, but we're going to keep working hard going forward.
That's right. We are going to do that. And we're going to work hard, giving you all the updates on the Seattle Kraken, of course. And man, they won a pretty awesome hockey game last night, didn't they?
Oh, for sure. You love to see that after, you know, dropping 6 in a row there. Nice to come out with a dub before talking on the pod.
Oh, yeah. No kidding, right? Like the crowd was absolutely nuts last night. Crazy performances from a few of the players for sure. But all around, it was just exciting to be able to see a win. It's been a little while. So yeah, that was awesome to see that. But before we get into that win and take a deep dive into that, we're going to throw it back to a couple losses they had earlier this week. The first one starting off with the loss against Chicago and that 4-2 loss. We're going to kind of throw it over there, break down that game, break down the loss against Colorado. Then we'll jump back into the exciting stuff on the win against Washington. So, yeah, game against Chicago on November 17th. Grubauer got his 13th start of the season in that game. And then we also see Hayden Fleury back in the lineup. He was in place of Carson Soucy, and he got a shot on the top pair with Giordano that game. So, good to see him back in the lineup. I know he was away for a few games. He had a pretty rough game against Arizona, and I didn't think he got back in the lineup since. But he gets another crack here against Chicago. And then Chicago, they came into this game with a 4-9-2 record and just 1 point ahead on Seattle. But they're also coming in with a 3-game win streak as well, weren't they?
Yeah, they were definitely riding that new coach high.
Yeah, because ever since Colleton got fired, it's been, 3-0 heading into this game. And of course, you know, they went away with the win in this game as well. So that new head coach.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I mean, chances are you already watched it. You already seen the game, but it's important to kind of talk about it and see what went wrong and just go over that game a bit. But yeah, kudos to that interim head coach. Do you know his name? I'm drawing a blank here.
Me too. Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's a tough one because I'm not sure. They let go of a couple assistant coaches as well and stuff. So, you know, they've been a hot team ever since Colleton got canned. So credit to them. And yeah, just heading into this game, it was a bit of a sloppy start in this one. The Kraken finally get a shot on net just over 6 minutes into the first. But it was just a lot of unnecessary turnovers early on in this game.
Derek King.
Derek King's the intern. So shout out to him. 4-0 start. I'm not sure what they've currently done, but I mean, that's impressive. So yeah, it was a slow start in this one. And then Chicago's big guns kind of team up for a pretty beautiful tic-tac-toe play from Kane to DeBrincat to Jones. And just like that, the Blackhawks open the scoring in this game 15 minutes into the first.
Yeah, Jones looking like his Columbus days there, just driving the back post, all offense, bringing it.
Yeah, 100%. That's the Jones that they've definitely, you know, expected to have when they made that big trade for him in the offseason. And that essentially was it for the first period. There wasn't a whole lot going on. Shots were 8-3 in favor of Chicago. And if I'm being honest, I'm pretty sure the Kraken had more turnovers than they did shots in that period. So it was definitely not a great period from the Kraken, but way she goes as of late with these first periods, right?
Yeah. I mean, we talk about getting off to a hot start and they happen to do that against Arizona and still manage to lose the game. So I'm at a loss. Maybe this will work.
Bold strategy, right? Bold strategy. But again, right off the second period, it's another rough start. And, you know, DeBrincat takes a lead pass from Kirby Dach, and he's just got way too much room down the middle, and he's able to just go in all alone and pop one over the shoulder of Grubauer. And that would be the Blackhawks' second goal of the game. And, you know, just like that, we're down 2-0. And you know, that almost seemed like a big wake-up call for this, a wake-up call for this team, because once they were down 2-0, it seemed like that really switched the gears for this Kraken team, and they started to play some hockey in this game.
Yeah, you get a sick little play from Gordon Schwartz behind the net, but Flower throws his body across the crease and takes away what I thought was a sure goal from Schwartz there.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable save, and you could almost say the Flower was spreading his petals in this second period. And, you know, credit to him, he's been a fantastic goaltender in this league for quite a while, and what a nasty setup he has this year for his goalie gear, eh?
Oh, like, that looks disgusting.
It is. I love it. The throwback look, you know, the old school look. I'm really digging it. Awesome setup for him to have this year. And it goes really well with the Blackhawks jerseys too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But like, Seattle was definitely the better team in the second period, despite not scoring any goals and giving up the only goal in the period. It just seemed like they couldn't get any puck luck and get any past Fleury in that period. And, you know, you could tell by the shots, they were 15-6 for the Kraken in that period. And they're playing at much better hockey than they were in that first. And then, yeah, you're going into the third period, and a little stat line here for the Kraken doesn't look too good, because they're 0-6-0 when trailing after two periods. So not a good look for them, is it?
No, that's definitely not a recipe for success.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we end up like seeing some action on the PK, but it's not what you would expect to see, because it's Yanni Gord who's mixing it up with fellow Chicagoan player Alex DeBrincat, and the two of these guys drop the gloves, they drop the mitts, and it's a fun little tilt between these two undersized players, right?
Yes, yeah, something you don't see too much is your skilled undersized guys chucking them around.
Yeah, it doesn't happen too often, but you know, that's all part of the game of hockey. You get some tensions boiling over, and you know, all it takes is a split second reaction, and you got two guys like that dropping the gloves. I wouldn't expect it so much from DeBrincat, for sure. That's not his game. That's not what he does. I wouldn't be surprised if that's like maybe the first, second fight of his career. I maybe expected a little bit more from Gord, though. He loves to mix it up like that and get involved. So
bit of a shift disturber.
He is, right? Certified shift disturber through and through. You can tell he loves those interactions, because the whole time he's just has the biggest grin on his face. So love to see it. And then, yeah, we would kind of see the Blackhawks take a penalty too on the play. And then that would lead to, you know, a short little 4-on-4 and then a small power play chance for the Kraken. But only moments after it expires, it's Chicago striking for the third time when Patty Kane finds some space over Grubauer's left shoulder. He makes no mistake and buries a goal top shelf, sitting 3-0 Chicago now.
Yeah, and that hole just gets a little bit deeper, which is the exact opposite of what you're looking for. You know, you're looking to climb your way out in the third period and try and go 1-6-0 after this game. But unfortunately, not what it's looking like it's going to happen.
No, and like Seattle would earn a power play with 7 minutes left when Dach chops Gord's stick in half. But it's not a big confidence booster when you see some of these Kraken stats at home. You know, heading into this one, they were 1-for-23 at home on the power play, which is pretty ugly, not going to lie. But, you know, against all odds, it's McCann finding the back of the net with his sixth of the season on the power play. And, you know, the Kraken were just throwing everything on net, and they finally found a way to bury one here.
That's what a good power play should do, is you should get as many shots as you can in 2 minutes. tire out the penalty killers and exhaust the goaltender. Tired players make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. They have a tough time trying to clear that puck too. And yeah, I mean, the more times you could throw a puck towards the net, the better. Doesn't have to be the hardest shot. You just got to get it to the net. Bounces happen in this game. Bodies in front of the net, screen goalies, anything could happen. And that's kind of what happened there. And they're able to kind of break the shutout streak here for Fleury. And then, yeah, you're kind of down to that 5 minutes left in the game in this one. And you're already wondering, you know, that's prime goalie pulling time for Coach Hack. So he does wait it out, though. He does wait till about the 3.5 minute mark left. And Seattle was just peppering Fleury with shot after shot. And, you know, Seattle kind of gets set up in the zone. You got Yanni Gord on his off wing, and he rips a one-time bomb top shelf. And now you have a one-goal game with a minute 48 left. And it now all of a sudden has become a hockey game.
Yeah, it suddenly takes a turn and become a very interesting last few minutes instead of being a dull watch for the Seattle fans. Now we're going for something, you know?
But yeah, now the fans are hyped up. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, yeah, no worries. But, you know, unfortunately, the entertainment's going to come to an end because Chicago finds a way to bury that empty netter. The Kraken lose number 5 in a row now.
Yeah, this was their 5th loss in a row, and at least they, you know, were able to make a game of it, but again, it's the start to the game that's really been hurting this team quite a bit as of late. And I mean, they had a great third period. They had a great second period. Shots were 14-5 in that third period for the Kraken alone. And overall in the game, 33-19. So there could be the argument made that for a majority of this game, they were probably the better team. But you know, it doesn't mean much if this team doesn't put together a 60-minute effort. Once we start to see that, definitely more W's are going to be back on the board, but consistency is definitely hurting this team badly.
Yeah, you know, Mike said it at best after the game. We're just shooting ourselves in the foot. That's the way it is.
Yeah, they definitely have been shooting themselves in the foot as of late. And going into that game against Colorado, I mean, one of the top teams in the league, they've got off to a pretty slow start this year, but as of late, they have been a much better team and looking like the Colorado team that most fans would have expected to see right from the get-go. So, you know, you're heading into this game, you've lost 5 in a row. They give Drieger the start in this game, which is just his 2nd of the season. So honestly, like I was kind of hoping to see Grubauer play in this game and hope that Drieger got the game against Chicago. But, you know, I'm not the one making those decisions. But I just thought it would have been great to see Grubauer facing his old team. But they go with Drieger in this game. And then, you know, only after one game, Carson Soucy's back in the lineup in place of Fleury, you know, coming off that loss. So not completely shocking. And like we said, Colorado's been hot. They're coming in. They've won 3 in a row. And then, yeah, coming into this one, Colorado had 6 power play goals in their last 3 games. The Kraken, coming into this game, had 6 all year.
Yikes.
That's crazy. Yeah, yikes. Definitely not a good look for the Kraken, of course. That's something that hopefully starts to turn around here. And it's all about trying to come out of this game and have a solid first period. That's all I was hoping for. Just come out of this game and have a solid first period. Unfortunately, the Kraken once again stumble out of the gate in the first period, giving up goals on the power play and the PK to find themselves down 2-0 early, just like last game for Chicago.
Yeah, talk about a tough way to lose the special teams battle.
Yeah, it was a brutal start in this one. A tough look for Schwartz on that first goal, too. You know, he's trying to kill the penalty. He tries to break up the play with a stick, and he ends up sweeping his stick at the puck, knocks it all the way out across to, I believe it was Burakovsky who buried that first goal. So a tough look there. Kind of unlucky play, but yeah, just a bad look all around. And then between missing assignments on that PK in front of the net, and then you look at their power play, you see two players collide and run into each other. And then that leads to the turnover. And Valery Nichushkin is going the other way. And just like that, 2-0 off that play as well. So, you know, these are all signs of a team who is down on their confidence. And being on a 5-game losing streak, it's hard to feel like your game is trending in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough to build confidence when you keep starting games down 2-0.
Yeah, it's just a tough hole. And especially against elite teams like Colorado, it absolutely kills your chances to beat those teams. Like, yeah, to battle back and outscore, you know, you have to get a minimum of 3 goals now and not give up any. And that's definitely what didn't happen, because this game just spiraled out of control from this point on. It was just 3 minutes into the second. Kraken lose a draw. Makar snaps one through traffic. 3-0 Colorado. A couple minutes later, Kraken lose a draw on the PK. Boom. Back of the net. 4-0 Colorado. And that was the end of the night for Drieger. Yeah, like the poor guy didn't even make it halfway through the game in this one. And that's just an ugly, ugly start. And we're pretty much midway through this game. Actually, not even midway through. Grubauer wasn't even put into this game midway through the hockey game. It was less than that. And then he gets thrown into this mess. And you kind of have to feel for the guy when you're getting thrown into a game 4-0 and just getting beaten on like this.
Yeah, especially when you just had the tough loss against Chicago the other night. You want to come in. You want the night off. You're hoping you see Drieger come in, have a strong game. Even if it's Colorado, maybe you lose 3-2, 4-2. You'd be all right with that. But they get blown out like that right out of the gate. That stings.
Definitely does sting. And even though Grubauer went into the net in this one, you know, it didn't take too long. It was about 8 minutes into his shift. And Makar is, you know, bursting down the right side of the ice there. He gets a great opportunity, throws it on net, picks up his own rebound, 5-0, you know. And this still wasn't even the end of goals for Colorado in the second period. It was another bad turnover, another sloppy play in the Kraken zone, and it leads to Colorado's 6th goal in the hockey game. So, yeah, it was just a complete beatdown by the Avs and an embarrassing effort for Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, when it gets to 7-0, when you get a touchdown against you, that's fucking brutal. Like, that's bad. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah. And, you know, at least Seattle was able to break the shutout bid. They actually scored a couple of power play goals. So if there's a silver lining to this game, that's definitely it. You see Eberle and Turbo find in the back of the net. And on the play, Eberle actually extends his point streak to 7 games, which matches his career high. And it was also his 250th career goal. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, nice to see those accomplishments done in a Kraken sweater.
Yeah, 100%. It's pretty cool. And the fact that it's, you know, tying his longest point streak ever in his career, that's pretty impressive. He gets, you know, it only speaks volumes of how much of a heater this guy has been on as of late.
Exactly what you hope you were getting when you got him.
Mm-hmm. And I'll give Colin Blackwell a shout out too. He gets his first as a Kraken before the buzzer. I've really liked the way he's looked so far in these last few games he's played. So, you know, he's a guy, I know we talked about him before on the pod, but a guy who was on a 20 goal pace with the Rangers last year, and, you know, he gets his first as a Kraken. So let's hope he can ride some of that momentum going forward. And you get a good quote too from Captain Gio after this game. Explains this game to a T. Quote, it went from bad to really bad in a hurry. So honestly, couldn't agree more with you there, Gio. It was an ugly game to watch all the way through. And, you know, one, you just have to throw in the garbage and move on, right?
Yeah, just don't even think about it. Get on to the next one. Hopefully get a dub in or against Washington.
Yeah, and that's what we were able to see. So it was an awesome game. We seen Grubauer go right back into the net on, and it was Hockey Fights Cancer Night too for the Kraken too. So a big night, you know, very emotional night for a lot of people out there. So the fact that they came in here and gave the effort they did, fantastic. And, you know, it just was a huge sigh of relief, to see them break that 6-game losing streak and get a huge W against a pretty tough Washington team.
Yeah, I mean, the Metro's no joke, and they're right in the thick of it. So anytime you can have a strong game against one of those teams, probably shows you're trending in the right direction. Or at least you stop the bleeding from the last six.
Yeah, exactly. So start a new streak of our own, hopefully. Some pregame notes, too. We seen former Kraken legend in the opposing net, Vitek Vanacek. So obviously, you know, huge legend in the Seattle Kraken field, right?
Oh, just brings a tear to my eye seeing him play for any team but Seattle.
Yeah, it was awesome to see the Kraken account too on Twitter, you know, tweeting out some fun stuff like that too about, you know, former legend of Seattle playing in this game again, you know, all 7 days of him being on the squad. So we seen that. And then, you know, it's worth mentioning too, the Capitals were pretty banged up heading into this game. They were missing some big guys up front, including TJ Oshie, who's, I think, day to day right now. Nicholas Backstrom, who's a long term injured right now. Lars Eller was out. Anthony Mantha was out. Connor Sheary was out. So they were definitely missing some bodies. But they have a very strong away record this year, coming into this one with a 6-1-2 road record. So kudos to them for, you know, being that good on the road. That's a tough task in the NHL.
Yeah, there's a lot of travel involved and, you know, late nights and planes and buses in some places. And anytime you can have a solid road record, that's pretty respectable.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, although they came out with a win in this one, this game would start off with an absolute terrible turnover from Jeremy Lauzon behind his own net. You know, he can't control the pass. The puck's kind of stuck in his feet there. He's having troubles finding it. Kuznetsov just jumps right on him, steals it, throws it out front to Wilson, who's streaking in, and he buries it past Grubauer.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put up a better fight there if you're Lauzon. If you know you're fumbling with the puck there, you got to just brace for the incoming Kuznetsov and just reverse hit him.
Yeah, reverse hit him. Protect the puck. Make some contact, do something that doesn't just allow him to pick it up and make an easy play like that to Wilson. And you can't blame Grubauer on that one. Like, that's just all Lauzon right there. That's just a brutal giveaway. And then, you know, yeah, we won this game, but this is the 12th game this year out of 18 where Seattle surrendered the first goal of the hockey game. And going forward, that's something that definitely needs to change, because that's too many times that you're fighting from behind that many times at the start of a hockey game.
Yeah, I feel like it's something we've had to talk about all year, how you don't want to be chasing the game, and it seems like we always are.
Yeah, and, you know, before they were able to, like, you know, I don't even know, like, it's just wild sometimes watching this team. Like, the good thing about in this game is they didn't let that goal snowball into more breakdowns. And for the rest of the period, like, it was good back and forth hockey with chances both ways, which was definitely more encouraging than the last few first periods of play that they had. And, you know, former Kraken legend Vanacek was acting like a brick wall early in this one, but with about 5:28 left in the first, Kuznetsov takes a holding penalty 200 feet from his own net. You can't do that. And the Kraken would get the first crack on the power play in this game.
Yeah, anytime you take a penalty 200 feet from your own net, you are probably getting reamed out by your coach when you get back.
Yeah, it's the absolute worst place to take a penalty, no doubt. Not timing, but worst place on the ice. That's the no penalty zone take when you're that far away from your net. And yeah, the power play has actually been not too bad for the Kraken. Of course, we talked about, you know, the last game there against Colorado. They're able to bury a couple power play goals, and it has been hot as of late. 4 for the last 9, so looking pretty good. And this power play is going to stay hot because McCann backhands one from the slot after a nice bumper pass from Jaden Schwartz, and it's a 1-1 hockey game.
Wow, you mean it's so nice to be able to say, hey, the power play's hot right now, and not be full of shit either.
Yeah, no, it's definitely way better. A nice change of scenery. And, you know, don't look now, but that's the 4th straight game with a power play goal from this team. And McCann with his 4th power play goal as well. That leads this Kraken team. So I've noticed his ice has been dropping the last few games. But, you know, they better not be taking this guy off the power play at all. McCann's still one of the best offensive guys on this team so far. And, you know, he's proven that with, you know, leading the team in power play goals.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it pretty early in the season there where he had clearly established himself as the threat on the power play from the left side, that where he comes up high and then curls back in, collects the puck in a rush and shoots with velocity on it. So,
yeah,
he better be staying there.
He better be. And he's got one of the best shots on this team. So I don't see why you wouldn't have him there. So, like, shortly after that, Lazan makes his way to the sin bin. He takes an interference penalty, but the Kraken do a really good job of killing it off. They stay pretty aggressive the whole time, and they're actually the ones who get probably the best scoring chance out of that, almost scoring a shorthanded goal themselves, something that this team hasn't done yet so far this year and in their franchise. So we're yet to see a shorthanded goal, but if they stay aggressive like that, sooner or later, I think Turbo Tanev is going to pop a shorty in.
That's funny. That's who I was just going to say, too. I'm like, ah, Turbo will get one eventually.
Yeah, and he's come close to a few times in the season. I remember early on, too, the first couple games, he had some shorthanded breakaways and just some pucks fumbling off his stick and whatnot. He's going to get one soon. Got to happen, right?
Long season. Plenty of chances. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, we had that brutal giveaway by Lazan early on, but it was a pretty good period. That's definitely the type of first period you want to see after we've been hemming them about how bad their first periods have been. Shots favored the Kraken 14-11, and, yeah, it was a good look. And then, you know, early in the second period, Wennberg gets called for a trip, and I'm like, hell nah, man. That was not a trip. If you take a look at that, the guy's basically already falling. It was just a soft call. But the good thing is there is no harm, no foul done. The Kraken kill it off, which would bring them to 2-for-2 on the PK in the game.
Anytime you can shut down a power play with Ovechkin on it twice in a row, you're probably off to a good start.
Yeah, he's... I mean, in my opinion, he's the most lethal guy on the power play in the league. I mean, I guess McDavid could, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl, their combo is probably right there too, but I don't know. What would you say? I say Ovi is still the most dangerous.
Imagine McDavid feeding Ovi.
Oh, one day, maybe one day. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Ovi decides he wants to hit 70 goals once. Just, I'm going to Edmonton for a year.
That would be so dope. I would love to see that. But yeah, after a nice long healthy cycle from the fourth line in this game early in the second, Schwartz jumps on the ice as the extra man on a delayed penalty call. He goes to the net and gets rewarded with a goal of his own. And Seattle's winning a hockey game. The first lead in a game in 12 days. Yeah, 12 days. That's insane, isn't it?
That's terrible, but I'm so happy it's over.
Yeah, I know, about time. And they weren't even done just yet. Larson goes for a skate. He finds some open ice up the middle, and he is the recipient of a beautiful pass from Yanni Gord, and he puts one past his former teammate, and it's a 2-goal lead. Larson's first as a Kraken.
And from the wise words of John Forslund, that's hockey, baby.
That's hockey, baby. Oh, man. It's actually been a long time since I heard John Forslund say that. So that felt good. Just hearing him say that once again, and the crowd was erupting, and yeah, that those goals came just 43 seconds apart, and the barn was rocking, man. The fans, everyone was back in it, and it was a while since they've been that pumped up again. And they still weren't done there, too. Jaden Schwartz makes a great play to break up a D2D passing play from the Caps. And that sends him and Callie Yarncroc on a two-on-one. And Yarncroc rips one upstairs. His first goal as a Kraken. And it wasn't the only milestone on that play either. Jaden Schwartz picked up his 400th career point on the play. And it was all because of his great defensive stick in the D zone. So awesome to see that happen. Great for Schwartz, 400th point. That's huge. And then Callie Yarncroc as well, first goal as a Kraken, and you know, he's 13 games in, and this was pretty much his first point as well. So good to see that guy get going, but it's actually pretty shocking to see that stat line as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's something where you thought you'd get a bit of your depth scoring. That's someone you thought you'd get a bit of your depth scoring from, but unfortunately not yet. Hopefully he picks that up and becomes a bit of a trade bait piece maybe.
Yeah, that's probably likely going to happen, you know, unless his team goes on a nice 5-6-7 game winning streak, gets themselves maybe into contention. But then still, if you do that, you still have to play above 500 hockey and play really good hockey for the rest of the year. So definitely looking more like he's going to be a trade piece. But yeah, popping back into this game. Yeah, 4-1 Kraken lead heading into the third. Yeah, you heard that right. 4-1 Kraken lead heading into the third. A 4-1 Kraken lead heading into the third.
Love it.
They had a 23-16 shot advantage. So, and you got that healthy lead. So you got to close this one out. But just over 3 minutes into the third, it's Ovi who just kind of walks in and he rips one top shelf. It was just kind of snuck through the glove of Grubauer on that shot, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's typical of Ovechkin, though. He just gets enough power on it where even if you get a piece of it, it's not going to be enough. He's going to blow it right through you, and that's what happened there. Grubauer gets his glove up, gets a piece of it, but it just pops up over him and right on through into the net.
Yeah, and what a complete shocker, too. Ovechkin scoring against the Kraken in his first game against the Kraken. Like, who would have seen that coming? Like,
should honestly, have made a bet on that.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Ovi doesn't waste his time scoring against the only other team other than his own team to get his first against them. So, you know, then we see Yanni Gord crash the net, maybe a little too hard, and he gets a goalie interference call. And that's not what you want to be doing after giving up that goal, is giving number 8 any more time on the power play in this game.
Especially when you get Gord in the box too. He's one of your big time killers.
Yeah, he is. He's one of your best killers, and you know that it is part of his game, but a penalty you don't want to take there at all. That's it could have been easily avoided too. But he does clip Vanecek, and Vanecek falls down. He goes to the sin bin, but thankfully Grubauer was on his game because he had to make a few huge saves on that PK. He made a real nice save on Wilson, and of course Ovi had a couple chances there, and he made some big saves on him as well.
Yeah, and after a flurry of crazy sequences throughout the third, Lauzon goes to the box for a hold with just 3.5 minutes left in the third. Because why give the fans a nice stress-free end of this game, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Again, not a penalty you want to be giving up. And Lauzon, too. A guy who's went to the box already in this game, had a terrible turnover. It just seemed like this night didn't get any better for him personally. And it was just a rough game for him throughout this whole game, I thought. So I definitely not going to be shocked to see that he's going to be scratched next game, even though it's a Kraken win. And yeah, right after that, I mean, they're able three and a half minutes left. They take that penalty, but Grubauer stands tall and guys were diving around blocking shots. They're doing anything to keep the puck out of the net. And man, credit to Grubauer there, because he had to have made like 10 saves in those final 4 or 5 minutes of that hockey game, and a lot of huge saves there. And, you know, that led to Tanev getting the puck out, goes for a bit of a skate. He finds Gord, finds the empty netter, Kraken win, baby.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's about damn time. And it feels so good to see a win again from this team. That was a great hockey game. And what were some of the standouts in this game?
Well, I mean, like you said just a couple minutes ago, Grubauer, huge bounce back win for him. He was dynamite in the third, especially those last few minutes on the PK there. 22 saves in the third period alone. I mean, that enough is making you go, holy shit, he had us tonight. 37 total on the game. I mean, go off, dude.
Yeah, that was just an unbelievable performance by Grubauer. 949 save percentage. And like you said, 22 saves in the third alone. You know, sometimes that's all goalies get in a night. So he was absolutely peppered in the third period and stood on his head and was definitely the reason why the Kraken were able to hold on and win this hockey game. Yeah, what about...
Then you get him Yarncroc, too, on the forward there. First 2 points as a Kraken. Definitely getting a shout-out for that. Yeah.
Definitely shout out to him. I know we talked about him for a second there earlier, but his first 2 points is a Kraken. That's huge. Hopefully he can keep that going. Like you said, probably going to be trade bait. So we need to see a bit more offense out of him, try to get the highest draft pick possible. I'd be shocked if he isn't moved by the deadline, but you know, great to see him produce some offense, because his numbers were trending in the right direction with Nashville as of late. And I think he was coming off his best season offensively too with Nashville last season. So bit of a shocker that he's 13 games in and just getting his first 2 points, first goal of the season. But, you know, hopefully we see more out of him going forward.
You know who else we want to keep it hot going forward?
Who?
Jaden Schwartz. Man, got 4 points tonight.
Yeah, 4 points. He had the goal. He had 3 assists. He made plays all over the ice. He made those nice defensive plays too that led to goals. He went straight to the net on when he was the extra attacker. And, you know, all you kids out there, that's what your coach is going to tell you, right? Go to the net and stop in front of the net and you'll get rewarded.
But yeah. Definitely, for sure. It was nice too on the Yarncroc goal after the big defensive stick play. He drives up the middle of the ice and he goes straight to the net. Like, he pushes the D back, creates that room in the middle for Yarncroc to cut into. It's a lot of the little things he's been doing right lately that are resulting in goals for the team.
Yeah, and that goes a long way, right? It's those little things that are going to end up being the biggest differences in the hockey game. So kudos to him. Shout out to the PK. Excellent game for the PK. They went 4 for 4, so 100%, killing off all 4 penalties. That's always a huge stat line when you're facing a team like Washington. They're a lethal team on the power play, and when you can 4 for 4 OV on the power play, you're doing things right.
Yeah, if you can shut him down with the man advantage, you're probably going to win the game against Washington, or at least give yourself a hell of a chance to.
Yeah. And of course, a huge shout out to the fans, because holy shit, were they ever loud in that building last night. And let's just hope we carry all that momentum from that game, from that win, from the fans. Bring that energy into next week's game and keep riding the high off this W.
Go streaking.
Yeah, go streaking, but in the right direction, right? Yeah. Which is, you know, what we're hoping to see, because you know, looking ahead to some games we got going forward, upcoming matchups next week, we got Carolina on Wednesday. Then we have a back-to-back versus Tampa and Florida in, you know, in their respective barns. So let's start off by looking at the matchup against Carolina on Wednesday. This is the last game of the homestand. Give me your thoughts on what you expect.
Well, Carolina to come out hard, fast, probably pot a couple in the first. No offense, Seattle, but Carolina's just disgusting.
What is it about this Carolina team that so far right now gives them the best winning percentage in all the teams? So right now they're first place for winning percentage in the NHL, technically the best team in the NHL. What's getting it done for this team?
Well, they're strong down the middle. They got good defenders. I mean, as a team as a whole, all five guys on the ice or shorthanded, whatever. But as even strength, they defend extremely well. They keep everything to the outside. There's not a lot of slot chances there. And when there are, they've got good goaltending back there as well. They're kind of a sound team entirely. And then you got Rod the Bod running the bench there. I mean, who wants to let that man down? I bet you all 23 guys on the roster would run through a brick wall for him.
Yeah, probably multiple brick walls. That might be one of the things that's most underrated or not talked about, is how well this team is coached. And like you said, Rod Brind'Amour, you know, former player, former cup winner for the Carolina Hurricanes. He is a hell of a coach, and he's probably one of the best motivators in the game, because this Carolina team just knows how to bring it every single game, and they don't have off games. Their compete level is always top notch, and they're always going to make it tough on you no matter what. I like how you mentioned too their strength up the middle. That certainly should not go unnoticed. You got Sebastian Aho, Vincent Trocheck, Jordan Staal. I mean, Jordan Staal's running your third line center position. That's no joke. And then I believe it's either Stefan or Kotkaniemi who is on their fourth line center position. So, you know, this team is deep. And you know what? I shouldn't be that surprised, but I thought they would take a bit of a step back because of their goaltending. Not happening. Freddie Anderson has been lights out this year, hasn't he?
Oh, just add it to the list of Leafs players who leave Toronto and just go off.
I mean, yeah, it's a
I'm
long
sure
list,
my dad's just keeping up at night thinking about it.
Giving him nightmares. Yeah, no, I gotta give credit where credit is due. This Carolina team is definitely once again in Stanley Cup contention. And look for them to continue that trend and be one of the top teams by the end of this season. Because, you know, they're just going off right now. And a guy like Seth Jarvis, too. Another young guy that they drafted who has been in the lineup and has been putting up tons of points and is actually getting looks on their first line. So, you know, this team is just deep. It's player after player. Jakob Slavin, too, one of the best defenders in the game. So credit to him. They're just built like such a great hockey team. Not the same Carolina team we looked at 5 years ago where they were boring, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
It's crazy how quick of a turnover this team has had. So credit to them, expecting a very good battle. They're a blue-collar team. They're going to outwork you, but they bring a lot of skill to this game, and they defend really well, like you said. So expecting a good matchup against them. All right, and then after Carolina, we take a look ahead of the schedule, and on Friday, we're going to be in Tampa Bay. And, you know, what else do you have to say? You're facing, you know, the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion team. Give me your thoughts on this team, Durham, and what you expect out of this matchup.
I mean, what can be said about Tampa that hasn't been said in the last 2 years? The only thing to be brought up right now is you might be catching them at a bit of a low point, having just lost point out indefinitely. So we might catch them trying to figure out what they're going to be doing there. Maybe catch them in a bit of a transition game there, but hopefully get a couple goals early in the first and hold them off for the next 55 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what you got to expect. Tampa's, they're going to bring it. Yeah, they're dealing with injuries, like you said. Braden Point's out right now. They obviously lost Kucherov. Shocker, shocker. If I had to guess, he's probably back.
Game one of playoffs.
Yeah. but essentially, again, you're facing one of the top teams in the league. They're going to be hurting a bit up front, but they still have tons of firepower to bring them, you know, through and create offense for this team. And former Kraken player Alex Bury-Boulay is, you know, listed on the first line for this team right now with Stamkos and Palat. So, yeah, he's been getting some cracks back with his old team. And yeah, they still have tons of depth in this lineup, especially up front. You got Sorelli, Killorn, guys who could bring it. They got good veteran presence, some big bodies, Patrick Maroon, Corey Perry. And then even looking at their fourth line, you got guys like Ross Colton. Guy's got a, you know, a Stanley Cup winning goal under his belt. Taylor Radish is still a good young forward, and same with Boris Kachuk. And then, of course, you look at their back end, one of the best defensemen in the game for a number of years now, Victor Hedman, leading the way on the back end as well. And then, if I mean, the best goalie, top two goalie in the league, Andrei Vasilevsky.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's every season, at the start of every season, he'd probably win the Vezina.
Yeah, he's the number one fantasy goalie at the start of every year, it seems. So, which deservingly so, right? What was it? Some crazy stat, like he didn't lose back-to-back games in the last two playoffs combined.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I think that won't hurt you. Not bad to have to your resume of play. So, you know, that with along with two cups, not too bad. So, yeah, you just got to find a way to grind them out and outplay them. That's the Kraken style. So that's how you're going to beat this team. And like you said, if they can get off to a good start early on, especially in Tampa's barn, then that's going to give you a really good chance. And, you know, I don't know for sure. I think Tampa might be playing too on Saturday. So you might not even face Vasilevsky. You might get a shot at their backup goalie, Brian Elliott. So we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, between the game against Carolina, Tampa, and then the next night, you have to face Florida. This is probably, you know, you're in your toughest stretch of games that you're probably going to be in all season long. So very tough stretch, especially having to play Florida the very next night. Give me your thoughts on that team and what we can expect from that matchup.
The exact same thing you had the night before in Tampa, except they're probably healthier. Florida is just firing this season.
Yeah, and they're at the top of the standings for a reason. I honestly think the two best teams right now are Carolina and Florida. So I know Barkov just went down with injury, so he is out. But you take a look at their offensive lineup and the additions they made in the offseason, like this is still one of the deepest teams offensively. Like, you know, they picked up Sam Reinhart too, which I thought was a huge signing. They made sure they brought Sam Bennett back. They got veteran presence and a guy like Joe Thornton. They didn't really lose anybody. They still have Duclair. You know, Jonathan Huberdeau is an absolute stud. Carter Verhaeghe is still on the same tier he was last year. Frank Vetrano can score goals all the time. Anton Lundell is an elite player that is, well, not NHL elite, but prospect elite, who, you know, is just stepping into his own. And, you know, this is his first crack in the NHL. But again, he's a heck of a centerman and a heck of a player. You know, you got Patrick Hornquist, who is one of the toughest guys to play against on a nightly basis, especially if you're a goalie. I don't think goalies like Hornquist too much in this league. He's a bit of a pest in front of that net. And then you got a guy who they picked like 10th overall, Owen Tippett, like, who is now coming into his own and starting to score goals. So it's like, this team is just ridiculously stacked up front. It's wild.
Yeah, they've got a lot of depth through their forward ranks of guys who can produce offense.
Yeah, tons. You take a look at their back end, one of the best defensive pairings in the league right now, between Aaron Ekblad and Mackenzie Weegar. That doesn't hurt your team, certainly.
Yeah, you're giving yourself a chance to win every game if they're on fire. I mean, not even on fire, if they're just on their game.
Yeah, and they have some other guys who produce some good offense from the back end. Brandon Montour, I thought, was a great addition too. Gustav Forsling, a kind of younger player as well, who's coming into his own and doing pretty well offensively so far. You got some tougher guys, some big body guys. You got Gudas back there, who, you know, is known to play some really good defensive hockey. He eats pucks, blocks tons of shots. Kevin Connaughton, another body in there that makes it difficult to play against. And then one of their biggest question marks, I thought, was going to be their goaltending, but it seems like Sergei Bobrovsky is having quite the bounce back. And Spencer Knight has not taken any step back from the few games he played last season and has looked like he belongs right there with Bobrovsky. You know, he's a backup to him, but I think on a different team, Spencer Knight could already be a starter.
Yeah, he seems calm, cool, and collected every time he's in the net there. And you saw it in the playoffs last year when he was thrown in against Tampa Bay, and I think it was game 3 or game 4, and he just took it and ran with it, and he took the rest of the series. And, you know, he looked like he's a guy who's going to have a long career as a starting goalie in this league.
Yeah, he, no doubt about it, he seems like he's going to be one of the upper echelon goalies for a long time in this league. Like you said, calm, cool, collected, very poised goalie. He's got great size to him. He moves super well for a guy of his size. So Florida is just going to be a threat for a lot of years to come. You know, they locked up Barkov or tons of years as well. Like, this team isn't going anywhere anytime soon. They're going to be a top team for a while.
Yeah, they've certainly set themselves up mm-hmm. for success for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, so, you know, expectations, 5-0 win for the Kraken, right?
100%. Are you kidding? They're on fire now. They won a game.
On fire. We're coming off a win. That means they're going to win 4 in a row, all against the toughest teams in the league. So 5-0 win. You heard it here first. The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total cash prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, One puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. All right, welcome back to Keeping Up with the Krakens. And Durham, I have a question for you. I can't believe I'm even asking you this one, but there's been so much talk on social media, especially Twitter, especially when the Kraken were losing games. I got to ask you this question because people are starting to come for his head already. Is Coach Hack, is his job in jeopardy?
I don't think so. I think it's not fair to a coach to hire him and then not give him a full season. I mean, people were even talking about Colleton after he happened to get sacked in Chicago. They're like, yeah, he was here for 3 years, but he never had a full year in any of those three. So I don't think it's fair for Seattle to be like, hey, Dave, thanks for 20 games. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, I know. I felt just weird asking it because, you know, let's be realistic here. This is an expansion team. And I get, like, if you're new to the game, it's easy to take a look at some of his decisions with, you know, pulling the goalie and maybe some lineup decisions with goalies and who you would throw in and how much he's been playing and riding Grubauer. And you could easily nitpick these things and question why the heck is he even coaching this team. But, like, you have to give a new coach 20 to 30 games, right? Just to learn their systems with a brand new team. And it would just be a bit of a silly move and a panic move if you were to try to get rid of this head coach in the very first season. And I don't expect anything like that to happen, but it was worth bringing up for the conversation because I think a lot of fans need to sit back and just ride the wave on this season and just let things play out a bit.
It's especially a tough look for the organization if they were to let Hackstall go this quickly, because then any prospective coach looking for a job in Seattle looks at that and says, well, what happens when that's me?
Yeah. It's a bad look on a couple different levels. Like, you look at it like, you know, if that were to happen, everybody's kind of looking at your organization like, okay, are they admitting that they fucked up that bad that early? And then, like, to go back to your point, it would just be a bad look overall. And I don't know. I still, you got to give this guy at least the season, and I don't even expect anything to happen in the off season. I don't care. Even if this team finished last,
I think it depends on who's available. I think it always depends on who's available, unless you're winning.
That is a good argument, but I did think there was really good guys available when they hired him too. So that makes it interesting as well, but that could definitely play into it. No doubt. Okay. We're going to move right along too. So a new segment called Hockey Vocabulary. So what's going to happen here is, you know, this is a great segment for anyone who's new to the game of hockey. What we're going to do is throw some hockey terms over Durham's way, and he's going to explain just kind of what they mean. Maybe use it in a sentence, however he wants to describe it. We'll leave that up to him. So are you ready for word number one of five?
I'm ready.
Okay. Sauce. What does it mean when somebody, a hockey player or any hockey fan, use the term sauce?
Well, they would be describing a saucer pass, which is just a pass that comes up off the ice and lands on the other side before getting received.
Yeah, exactly. And why do you think it's called sauce? I'm throwing you on the spot.
I wasn't ready for that.
I don't
one
know, man. Maybe I think it's because sauce looks very smooth coming out, and when you throw sauce,
you got
to
meat
somebody,
in that sauce.
It's usually, well, maybe it's a bit chunky at times, but when you throw somebody sauce, it's usually a very smooth execution. That puck's just hovering, you know, over sticks and lands on the ice very smoothly. So sauce, good one. Okay, moving on to the next. Lettuce. What does that mean when
you're talking about long hair here? Like, you look at not new age Erik Karlsson, you look at like 6 months ago Erik Karlsson, that man had some lettuce flowing.
Yeah. So lettuce is anytime, you know, a hockey player is growing out his hair, growing out his flow, you can call it as well. That guy's got a head of lettuce, you know, so that's what that means. Head of lettuce. We're not talking salads here. So moving on to the next one, an apple. What is an apple in hockey terms?
This one's easy because they both start with A. Anytime you talk about a guy gets an apple, you're just saying he got an assist.
Yeah, so if the guy picks up an apple, that's assist. First, it could be the first assist, secondary assist, or primary, I should say, primary assist, secondary assist. It doesn't matter, it's still an apple. And the important thing is, an apple a day keeps the critics away. That's what usually they say, helps, right? It definitely helps. And you're picking up a point. You're hopefully keeping those critics away, keeping your game on the upside versus, you know, struggling. So an apple is an assist. Okay, so the next term I have for you, the fourth, is pizza. So this can be known as throwing a pizza, tossing a pizza. And typically it's down the middle. So explain what that means when I say he just threw a pizza down the middle.
Well, generally when that happens is someone from your team just gives a huge turnover right up the middle of the ice, tape to tape with the other team, and they're just all alone going in for it. It's as if he thought he was passing it to his own teammate, but oh, would you look at that? That guy's wearing a different sweater.
Yeah, an absolute pizza. So, you know, a clear turnover right on the other player's or the opponent's stick. That's what throwing a pizza is. And sorry if I'm making anybody hungry with these terms. Sauce, lettuce, apple, pizza. Went with the food theme on this one. So, but for the last word, it isn't food theme. But if you hear somebody call another player a bender, what does that mean?
You're generally making fun of how they can't skate. You look at them when they go to take strides and their ankles are bending all over the place. It looks like they're going to snap their feet off with every push they take.
Exactly. So typically it is a chirp used to describe somebody with bad skating. And typically they're a bad skater because their ankles are bending and, you know, getting close to touching the ice at some time. So that's what a bender is. I think I've been a bender for a lot of my life, so feel free to use that going forward on me. But yeah, great to talk about some terms. So I hope you enjoy just a bit of a breakdown. We'll definitely get into some more in the future as well, and just keep updating you listeners on just a few of those words, because it's fun and it's knowledgeable and it helps you kind of understand the chirps of hockey. So that pretty much wraps it up though for today's episode. Thanks for joining again, Durham. Thanks everybody else for joining on episode 10. Make sure to join us next episode as we break down the next three Kraken hockey games, all against those tough opponents. And we'll definitely be taking another dive into the Pacific Division, because a lot is happening in our division and there's lots to talk about. So, yeah, we'll talk to you guys all next week, and hope everybody has a great week, and we'll talk soon.